Well, grab your corn dogs and pile on some extra nachos because we are live at the Super Bowl of Preaching. Where veteran and five-time Super Bowl of Preaching champion, Marty Pass Me Another Krispy Kreme Kaiser, takes on our newcomer, Brian Pass Me the Geritol Anderson. Now, Ted, this one's sure to go down in the history books, and whether you're here with us live or one of millions tuning in around the globe, we'd like to welcome you to the Super Bowl of Preaching. Hello, everyone. My name is Scott Young, a longtime Reveal member, and thank you. And this handsome young man sitting next to me is none other than VC's very own Ted Burrows.
Well, it is great to be here with you today, Scott, and to represent VC in this historic matchup as Marty faces off against his longtime coach and mentor, the amazing Brian Anderson. Now, much to my surprise, Vegas is showing Kaiser as an overwhelming favorite today, as he is a five-time Super Bowl of Preaching champion. But I, for one, think that Vegas has got this thing all wrong, and the smart money is on Anderson by at least 20. He's gritty, he's smart, he's a playmaker, and I have it on very good authority that all of heaven is rooting for him.
Really, Ted? I mean, all of heaven? Let me guess, you're not going to be impartial in this at all today.
Not even a little bit, Scott.
Okay. Well, I know why Vegas is heavily, I think I know why Vegas is leaning heavily towards Kaiser in this one, and it's probably because Brian is old. I mean, you can't argue with that. And I don't mean like recently retired Tom Brady old. I mean like Larry King old.
That's just cruel, Scott. Larry King is dead.
Exactly, Ted. Exactly.
Well, on a different note, we sent our sideline reporter, Tiadra Mickles, to catch up with Brian earlier this week and to get his thoughts on the big game.
Brian, it's your first time in the Super Bowl of Preaching. How do you respond to everyone who says you're too old to compete at this level?
Well, I don't... Wait, what? Who's saying that?
Everyone.
Everyone? Like who?
Okay, really, it's just Marty.
Marty. Marty's an idiot. He was an idiot in freshman year in math class. He's still an idiot today. And besides, Tiadra, who do you think taught Marty everything he knows?
I don't know. Who?
Well, I'll give you a hint. It rhymes with me.
Rhymes with me. Oh, CCV?
No, it's me. I taught him everything he knows. Kaiser, I have four words for you. In the words of Ivan Drago, I must break you.
Well, there you have it. Emotions are running high, and Brian is not backing down from the challenge. Back to the studio.
Ted, that is one angry man. I mean, maybe a little roid rage? I mean, what do you say, Ted? Maybe some steroids?
No, thanks, God. I never touch him.
No, I was... Never mind. Earlier this week, Tiadra went to Marty's gym to get his thoughts on preaching against his longtime coach and mentor.
We've been here for a little over 3 hours, and Marty still has yet to make an appearance. However, we were able to obtain footage of Marty's morning workout. And there you have it. Marty sure seems to be taking this game lightly, a decision he may later regret. Back to you, boys.
Well, there's no surprise there. As I've always said, he's a lazy man. And someone should tell Marty that 2,000 calories is for the day, not just one meal.
Hey, I want to remind you all, this quarter is brought to you by the VC Reveal merger. Life stink like a bathroom at a gas station? Get some fresh air at the Vineyard, now with two convenient locations. Who writes this stuff, Ted?
Yeah, that was really bad.
Well, we're just about ready for the kickoff, so let's take it down to the field for player introductions.
Let's get ready to rumble! Making his first Super Bowl of preaching appearance, representing Vineyard Church North Phoenix, he's been called the Chuck Norris of clergy, the Ninja of the New Testament, the Samurai of Scripture. He's the Big Daddy of the Bible. He is Brian T. Anderson! Representing Reveal, he is
Marty. Really? Really? Now, who paid you? Who paid you? Oh! I ate it. All right. I see how this is going to go.
All right, gentlemen, go ahead and bring it on in. Bring it in, bring it in. Now, good luck to the both of you, okay? It's going to be a great game. Good luck to the both of you. But we do got to keep this moving. I have a double shift at the Foot Locker here in about 2 hours. So we got to kind of keep this moving. I even wore my uniform. What up, baby? How are you doing?
Good to see you. Israel is the ref. Israel goes to Reveal. Israel's on staff at Reveal.
He's an impartial man.
Impartial.
It's good to see you. Oh, man. Let's drink it in again. Oh, so good to see you.
Oh, thank you for the gift basket, by the way. I appreciate that.
Anything you need.
Oh, man, it's so good. You're so generous.
Hey, who do I have to pay to at least get a jersey? I don't even have a jersey. They wouldn't give me a jersey.
That's my fault. I was supposed to. I packed a bag just for you. First, I packed a cane in case you'd be doing a lot of standing. Okay. Brought you some icy hot after the beatdown.
Oh, yeah. I may use that.
There you go. That scene.
I didn't even know he was going
to
do that.
Pink.
That scene's perfect.
I mean, what is this? Pink.
Matches your toenails. So Thora says.
That's nuts.
I don't care. I could win this thing shirtless. It doesn't matter.
You want to go shirts and skins? All right, no, I won't go shirts and skins.
Yeah, no, don't do shirts and skins. All right, gentlemen, so bring it in. Finally, we're going to get ready for the coin toss. Now, due to inflation, I have no coin to toss. So, I'm going to be flipping the coin in my mind. Ready, Marty, you get to call it in 3, 2, and it's up.
So, heads, because that's what I'll be busting.
That is amazing. Woo! That's exactly what I was thinking.
It's a gift.
How did you know that?
It's a gift.
How did you know that?
It's a gift.
So good. So good.
Like, this is going to be fair.
Marty, would you like to receive or kick the Bible ball?
I will receive the Bible ball, and I will make it quick because it's almost your nap time.
Sounds good. Let's get it started, gentlemen. Let's get it started. Good luck, Mr. Anderson.
Oh, man, that Pastor Marty is so funny.
Is he, though?
Well, he grows on you. So let's go over the rules. There will be 4 quarters of preaching. Points will be either added or deducted based on content and style, and all penalties will be enforced.
Well, the wait is finally over. All the bragging rights come down to this moment. Let's go live to the field and see what Marty does with the Bible ball.
So my wife and I, we dated about 6 months before we broke up. And, well, technically we never actually broke up, which I'm still reminded of to this day. I may have just stopped calling her and taking her calls. See, your boy was ahead of his time. I was ghosting before ghosting was a thing. But after 2 years, I realized, man, I made a horrible mistake. I saw her at work and was like, oh, I got to make this right. And so over the next couple weeks, I turned on the charm. I asked her out, and mercifully, she said yes. And after a couple dates, I knew that she was the one. And so I was ready to tell her I love her. I was ready to say it. So I stepped it up a notch, and I put on my Zeke Cavaricci pants. Maybe some of you remember that. And I put an extra splash of Eternity for Men, and I popped in my Can't Miss Romantic mixtape, The Best of Air Supply, baby. You can't go wrong with that. Because, girl, you're every woman in the world. Come on, pull your baby close to you now. And when the time was right, I leaned in and I told her, I said, Sheila Raines, I love you. See, I was looking to make a love connection, so I took a risk. I handed her my heart, and then I waited for those words to come back to me, and there was nothing. My love connection was abruptly disconnected. And see, when a connection fails or when a connection is lost, things just don't work as planned, be it a love connection or a business connection or even a tech connection. If there's a disconnection in your marriage or your relationship, then you know the tension that's in that space. If you're trying to make a business connection that just isn't sinking, then it can mean the loss of sales or the loss of productivity. Try using your $200 ear pods without a Bluetooth connection. Or try using your cell phone without a cell connection. No connection, no service. No connection, no sales. No connection, no relationship. And according to Jesus, no connection, no fruit. Well, welcome everyone to week 6 of our 40 days in the Word, where we've really been on a journey as we begin to build our lives on the firm foundation of God's Word. Now, last week we got really practical and we looked at how we can study a passage of the Bible, and we want to continue with that theme today as we look at John 15, a very popular passage where Jesus paints a very vivid picture of what life for a believer should look like when we are connected to Him. Let me read some of that to you, John 15. I am the true vine. Those two words will come back and be important. And my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch in me that does bear fruit, He prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain, stay connected, in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So let's dive into a little historical context of the passage so we can kind of get the full meaning behind this text. Now, John 15 is part of a larger block known as the Upper Room Discourse that starts all the way back in John 13. You've probably heard of the Last Supper. That's all part of the discourse. It was just hours before Jesus' betrayal, arrest, and crucifixion. So he gathers his disciples for one final meal and to deliver his final thoughts. Now, it's important to note that Jesus' words are not some dispassionate lecture. He's genuinely concerned for his disciples, whom he loves and he will soon leave. And so his final words were a form of instruction and comfort to them in their distress. I mean, think about it. What do you say when time is short and every moment counts? What do you say when words fall short and cannot touch the depth of what needs to be said? Well, Jesus allows actions to speak louder than words, and at one point takes off his outer robe and kneels down and washes the feet of his disciples. Now, by the time the Passover meal was complete, it's late. After midnight, they leave the upper room by moonlight, make their way east through the lower part of Jerusalem, out the city gate, and then they head north. To the right would be the Kidron Valley, and they come to the Garden of Gethsemane. The journey is short. It's only about a mile, and it is here, walking to his betrayal, that Jesus gives his final I am statement. I am the true vine. I am the vine and you are the branches. Now, vines and branches were images that his disciples were quite familiar with. If you were Jewish, you would have grown up reading the words of the Hebrew prophets like Isaiah, Ezekiel, and Hosea, catch this, who likened Israel to a vine that God planted. Vines and branches, the symbols were woven into Jewish culture. A vine and vine leaf were found on later Jewish coins. One of the more ornate pieces in the Jewish temple was a golden vine with grape clusters that stood above the doorway to the temple. Josephus, a first century historian, said it was a marvel of size and artistry. Those who gave generously would often have their names inscribed on a golden leaf. By the way, if you give generously here, I have it on good authority that Brian will tattoo your name on his back. That's what I've heard.
It depends how generously.
Now, catch this. The Old Testament frequently refers to Israel as being the vine that God planted. Being Jewish meant you saw yourself as the vine which God blessed. Now, in light of that background, we read the words of Jesus again, where Jesus says, hey, I am the true vine. I am the vine, you are the branches. Now, in light of what we know, those five words, I am the true vine, they jump off the page. Remember, Jesus was speaking to his Jewish disciples. They were familiar with the morning prayers of Psalm 80 that said, you brought a vine out of Egypt. That vine is Israel, right? It's speaking of the Exodus. You brought a vine out of Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it. You cleared the ground for it. It took deep root and filled the land. Jesus chose his words carefully. Everything had meaning. I am the true vine. In other words, he's saying, boys, I know you've been raised to think that you are the vine, but you are just one of many branches. I am the true vine. Listen to what he's saying. I am the source. And everything flows through me. With only hours left to live, Jesus gathers 11 of his closest friends who are about to take on the world. And he says, you cannot accomplish this mission on your own. He says, you cannot be fruitful on your own. You must stay connected to the source, and I am the source. And now his words fall on us, where he says, if you want to be who I created you to be, if you want to do what I've created you to do, if you want to rise above ordinary and live for something bigger than yourself, it only happens by recognizing who you are and who I am. Jesus says, I am the true vine, I am the source, and you are the branches.
Yes, sir.
Come on.
Man, that has got to be one of the greatest sermon introductions I have ever heard in my whole life.
Could be.
Oh, gosh. Man, I'm so proud you're my pastor. Mm. So proud.
Thank you. I'm proud. And I'm proud of you.
Wait, hold on. God's proud of you, too. With God being proud of you, too, that gives me the confidence to say, touchdown, Kaiser!
Yeah, right there.
With that, at the end of the first quarter, we got Pastor Kaiser at a massively strong 7-point lead, and Brian Anderson, still not surprisingly, at a big zero.
Hey, like him or not, Ted, you have to admit that was a really strong introduction.
Was it, though? Maybe the bar is set a little lower at the Reveal campus. Because you see, around here, that was below average at best.
You're below average at best.
What's that?
On that note, let's take a quick break to hear from our sponsors.
Did you know that BC and Reveal are now one church?
Everyone knows that.
Well, did you know that Jim, Eddie, and Daniel shave each other's bald heads?
I love the smell of cocoa butter.
Hey, Jim, don't cut me this time.
Hey, Mike, you gonna finish those Revitos?
Sorry, man, there's nothing left.
I know, you left the best part.
I'm pretty sure they're all gone.
Cheese.
I love Revitos.
You need help, dude.
And we are back. A quick reminder, this quarter brought to you by the VC Reveal merger. Are you suffering from spiritual constipation? Get things moving at the Vineyard now with two locations. These are actually getting worse, Ted. They're getting worse.
Yes, yes, much worse, much, much worse.
So Brian seems to be ready to start the second quarter. Let's see how he responds to the pressure. Pressure.
So last week, at both campuses, we taught you that when you're studying the Bible, not just reading it, but when you're studying the Bible, there are three words that you need to be aware of: observation, interpretation, and application. So we're going to look at those three words in this text in John chapters 13 through 16. So in observation, you ask the question, what does this Bible passage say? What does it say? So look at Jesus says in verse 4, remain in me and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Now the word remain in the Greek language, it means to stay. It's the word meno. It means to stay, to continue, to connect, to abide, to last.
No, no, I'm throwing a challenge on that one. I'm challenging the use of the Greek word meno. The only meno I know is the SS Minnow on Gilligan's Island.
What? That is a very great minnow at that. So there will be a challenge on the play for the Greek of the Greek usage of the word minnow. Now I'm gonna have you.
I love
this.
Gilligan's Island, Ted.
I don't understand this.
Marianne. Yeah, well, that's good. I like. Yeah, good people. Well, they were. It's a good show.
Tell him.
This could be a pivotal challenge here.
So, in a shocking turn of events, the ruling on the play does stand. Marty, you will be charged a four-point penalty for losing the challenge.
We had an agreement.
Sorry, why did you challenge it? You didn't want to do it.
Whatever. Go back to your hole.
Wow. That may come back to bite him, Ted.
Yeah, well, it was a stupid challenge by what I can only assume is a stupid man.
That might be a little harsh there, Ted. But let's see if that challenge breaks Brian's flow.
All right, so where was I? The word remain, it means in Greek to stay, to continue, to abide. See, in other words, a branch that is disconnected from a tree is not going to bear fruit, is it? No, it's not. It has to be connected to the tree in order to bear fruit. So Jesus is saying, stay connected to me, and then you'll be able to bear fruit. So the first thing we observe is we observe that bearing fruit is produced by remaining in Christ. Remaining in Christ. All right. What else can we observe from this passage of Scripture? Let's skip up to verse 8. Jesus says, when you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples, and this brings great glory, underline those two words, great glory to my Father. So the second thing we observe is that bearing fruit brings great glory to God. So it's clear that God wants us to bear fruit. You know, maybe you've heard somebody say something like, well, you know, God doesn't really want us to be fruitful. He just wants us to be faithful. Well, I understand where they're coming from, and that sounds good. The problem is, it's not true. Because God wants us to do both. He wants us to be faithful, but he also wants us to be fruitful. Why? So we can glorify him. And the fact is, faithfulness will lead to fruitfulness. It will over time. If you're faithful for a long enough period of time, there will be fruit that comes out of your life. Now, look at Jesus says in verse 11. I've told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy, underline the second sentence, yes, your joy will overflow. So the third thing that we can observe is that bearing fruit will give me overflowing joy. So what do we observe from this passage of Scripture? We observe that bearing fruit is produced by remaining in Christ, and it brings glory to God, and it gives me overflowing joy. Now, an important thing for you to remember is that when you're studying the Bible, not just reading, but studying, you need to make sure that you look at the most obvious meaning of the text. The most obvious meaning. And unfortunately, this is the exact opposite of what a lot of people do when they read the Bible and they study the Bible. See, contrary to popular belief, the Bible is not a book full of secrets. The Bible is not a book that you need to decode in some way. No, the purpose of the Bible is to reveal God, not conceal God. And so when I preach, I want to be really, really clear. You know, unlike Pastor Marty, who just likes to confuse people.
Whoa.
Personal foul! Roughing my pastor!
Thank you.
Are you okay?
I'm okay.
You need a Krispy Kreme, water, anything like that?
A donut would help, actually.
Do you
want a little aggressive?
I'm good.
You're so brave.
Personal foul. Hit him.
Pastor Ryan, that would be a personal foul. You will be receiving a 4-point deduction, and if you get one more personal foul, I will have you ejected from your own church.
Yes!
Oh, this is... Yeah.
All right. Hey, please
forgive
me. You
got to keep it clean, Ted. You got to keep it clean.
He said, please forgive me.
All right, where was I? Okay, so when I preach, I want to be really, really clear. You know, sometimes people say things like, maybe you've said this before, you know, I really want the deep stuff of the word. You know, I want the hidden meaning of the word. And when I hear that, I think people are just wanting me to confuse them or something, you know, like certain pastors like to do. It's like, well, I want to find out what the hidden meaning is behind this scripture. You know, that's something that they've been doing since the very first century. It's called Gnosticism. Trying to find, you know, some unknown knowledge in the scripture. That's not the way you read the Bible. Gnosticism is a heresy. We want to teach the Bible in a clear way. You know, somebody once said that a drowning person doesn't need, quote, the symbolic meaning of a life preserver, or what an allegorical interpretation of a life preserver is. That's not what a drowning person is. What a drowning person needs is a life preserver thrown to them. That's what they need. And that's what teaching and studying the Bible is supposed to be like. So the first word, observation, what does this Bible passage say? Second word, interpretation, what does this Bible passage mean? What does it mean? Look at verse 7. Jesus says, but if you remain in me and my words remain in you, look at this last part. You may ask for anything you want, and it will be granted. So what does this mean? Very straightforward. Jesus says, if you remain in me, you can ask for anything you want, and it will be granted to you. In other words, remaining in Jesus produces answered prayer. Answered prayer. Have you ever thought about how powerful prayer really is? I mean, prayer is connecting to the power of Almighty God. So, why are we praying such tiny prayers? Jesus is wanting us to pray big prayers. Jesus says, ask anything you want if you remain in me, and it will be granted to you. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. Some of you are thinking, come on, Brian. Man, I've asked God for a lot of things over the years that I didn't get. I mean, anything I want, and he's going to answer yes on that. I mean, come on, that's not really the truth. Well, here's the deal. If God doesn't give you what you're asking for, it's oftentimes because he wants to give you something better. It's like, you know, I didn't get what I asked for. Therefore, God must have something better in mind for me. Now, maybe you don't think or feel it's better at the time, but God knows it is. And he's God, and you're not. He can see the future, and you can't. He's God, you're not. In fact, turn to the person next to you and say to them, you are not God. Let them know you are not God. Now turn back the other way and let them say to you, get behind me, Satan. Turn the other way and say to the other person who told you you are not God. Now you get to say to them, you are really not God. All right, turn the other way, do that. You are really not God. All right, so the first point is the remaining in Christ produces answered prayer. Look at John 14 now. Remember, this is the same conversation. John 14, starting in verse 13, Jesus says, you can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it. Why? Underline this. So that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name, and I'll do it. So he's saying here, if you ask me for anything in my name, and you remain in me, I will do it. Why will I do it? So it will bring glory to the Father. Now, why does it bring glory to the Father? Because it shows how loving and how kind and how good God the Father really is. And there are some of you here this morning, some of you online, you need to hear that today. God is loving. God is kind. God is good. God is your heavenly Father. And you know what? He loves you. He really does. And he wants to meet all of your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So I want to tell you, bring him your needs and bring him your wants, because that's one of the ways that we glorify God. But let me ask you this. What do you need to be asking God for right now in your life? You know, I know in a room this size and the number of people who are online, I know that some of you are going through a really difficult time right now. Really difficult. You need to get on your knees before God and cry out to God and ask him for what you want him to do. You know, like the old saying goes, when you're on shaky ground, like some of you are right now, you need to kneel. So you can't fall when you're on your knees. Can you?
There it is. There it is. Yeah.
You know, being from Reveal, I thought I was going to hate it, but I can't hate it. You laid a foundation, great foundation for the text. You did your homework, and I mean, I can honestly say, touchdown Anderson.
Yes.
Boom. Now, I will be giving you the 7 points for the touchdown, but because of the unsportsmanlike conduct, it is going to be a -4. So, at the end of the second quarter, we're all tied up with Pastor Brian at 3 points and Pastor Kaiser at another 3.
And there you have it. That's how it's done. None of that fluff that Mary brought us. That's right, I said Mary. Pastor B came to play. What do you think about that, Scott? Scott?
Blood Burrows. Did Brian start yet?
Never mind. Go back to listening to your K-pop. Well, as promised, this one is too close to call, and I'm expecting an exciting second half. I see the band is coming onto the field, so that can only mean one thing. It's halftime. Please welcome the Reveal Worship Band!
I want to invite you to stand and praise our God this morning, man. You conquer the grave. Better than you, Lord, there's nothing, nothing.
We thank you for your Holy Spirit in this place. We could feel you today. You are here today, Jesus. We exalt you. We give you all the praise, Jesus. Thank you for your presence, God. Thank you for your presence. Amen.
Give a hand to the Lord because it's good, amen. Amen. And you can have a seat. You can have a seat.
I'm just saying, James, I really love Reveal.
Now, I hear you, but I really love VC.
Bro, I understand, but I love Reveal so much that I only drink my water out of Reveal water bottles.
That's a nice cut, Daniel, but I love VC so much, I only wear VC-branded clothing.
That's cute, James, but you know what else is cute? I love Reveal so much that I even named my cat Reveal. Right, Reveal?
Well, Pastor Brian and I hate cats. I love VC so much that I legally changed my name to Mr. Vineyard Church North Phoenix.
Impressive, James. But I love Reveal so much that I shave my chest hairs in the shape of the Reveal logo. And it only took me 6 months.
6 months? I love VC so much, I got Pastor Brian's face tattooed on my chest for life.
Let's never talk about this.
Agreed.
Reveal's at it again. They know what men want. Meaties, skip the Wheaties. It's the breakfast of fat champions like this guy, PH Fat.
This is not your powdered sugar French cream puff infused with lavender and honey. Oh no.
This is 100% Angus beef. Harvested the way God intended, humanely, roadkill. So grab yourself a box of Meaties and be a fat champion like this guy. Dump the Wheaties. Get the Meaties.
I'm so happy you get to finally come to my church and you get to meet my pastor.
Yeah, I'm excited as well. Can't wait.
Whew, okay. Have you guys met? This is my pastor.
Oh, we met.
That was stupid.
I'm so excited.
This is smart. VC and Reveal are now one church. One great church.
You can almost smell the excitement.
No, I can smell it.
Oh, welcome back, everyone. Hey, we'd like to take another quick moment to thank the Reveal Band for leading us in worship. Great job. Now, the rest of you, hurry back from the bathroom, because we're only minutes away from the exciting second half. But first, a quick word from our host.
Hello, everyone. My name is Eloisa. I am one of the pastors here. If you are a guest, we would love to connect with you. So text the word VC guest to 77411. VC guest to 77411. So we can text you back to welcome you. Then go to the information center in the lobby or let us know in the chat. We would love to get to know you more and answer any questions you may have. There is an event coming to the Vineyard, so let's watch the video screens to check it out. In just a moment, we are going to receive the offering. The ushers may come forward. There are lots of ways to give to God through the Vineyard. When we give, we are helping to transform lives, in our community and all around the world. And I want to take a moment to thank those of you who faithfully give back to God through our church. Thank you so much. Muchas gracias. We wouldn't be the church that we are without you. Would you please pray with me? God, we come before you to thank you for the opportunity you are giving us today to partner with you with our finances, to transform lives in our community and all around the world. Thank you for your faithfulness. We ask you to bless this money and bless the givers. In Jesus' name, amen. You can always keep up to date on everything going on our website and any of our social media. We are so glad you are here today. Enjoy the rest of the Super Bowl of preaching. Go, Brian! Vamos, Brian!
Well, Ted, I'm sure that Marty and Brian have both made necessary halftime adjustments to get their offenses moving in the second half. Brian has the Bible ball to start the third quarter, so let's see what he has in store for us. But first, a quick reminder, this quarter is brought to you by the VC Reveal merger. Spouse acting like a crusty, cranky crustacean? Fall in love again at the Vineyard, now with two locations. I cannot keep doing this. Who writes this trash, Ted?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's Marty. Every single word. Send your complaints to Marty at SuperBowlOfPreaching.com. Well, let's take it back down to the field as Pastor Brian receives the Bible ball for the start of the third quarter, which I'm sure will be another life-changing message. Let's go, Brian!
All right, so we left off with me asking you the question, what do you need to be asking God for right now in your life? Remember, Jesus says, ask me for anything in my name. It'll bring glory to God, and it will help you stay connected to me. I want you to see one other thing. This time in chapter 16, verse 24, Jesus says a very similar thing. You haven't done this before. Ask using my name, and you will receive, underline this last part, and you will have abundant joy. Now, remember, this is the same conversation. So what does this verse mean? What's the interpretation? Well, this verse means answered prayer gives me abundant joy. Abundant joy. Now, I find that a lot of people think things like, well, you know, I have this prayer request, but it's not that big a deal. I don't really want to bother God with this prayer request. He's got a lot bigger things on his mind. He's got to figure out who's going to win the Super Bowl. He's got to figure out, you know, what's going on in Ukraine, whatever. I don't want to bring this request to mind. It's so little, I don't want to bring it to God. Do you know that over 20 times in the Bible, we are commanded by God to ask him? He says, ask, and it'll be given to you. He says, seek. He says, knock. He says, James says, you do not have because you do not ask. So I wonder how many incredible things all of us could have had or could have experienced if we had only asked. So Jesus, in his final words to his disciples, he says to them, hey guys, I want you guys to ask. He says, I want you to ask because I, Jesus says, want to give it to you. And when I do, it's producing answered prayer, and that's one of the ways that you're going to remain in me. And remember, if you remain in me, Jesus says, you'll bring glory to me, and you will experience great joy. So the truth is this. When you and I don't pray, we're actually cheating God out of glory. And we're cheating ourselves out of joy. And we're cheating the world around us out of fruit. You know, it's sort of like having a bank account that you never draw on. You're cheating yourself out of all the fruit that God wants to produce in your life. And you're cheating the world out of all the fruit that God wants to bring forth through your life. You see the connection here? I want to put it all up on the video screen so you can see it very clearly. Bearing fruit is produced by remaining in Christ. Bearing fruit brings glory to God, and bearing fruit gives me abundant joy. At the same time, answered prayer comes from remaining in Christ. Answered prayer brings glory to God, and answered prayer gives me abundant joy. You see the connection? So when you boil it all down, the interpretation is, I bear fruit by asking in prayer. Or another way to say it, prayer is at the root of all fruit. All the other virtues come together in prayer. You know, prayer is sort of like the password to everything that God wants to do in your life. The problem I found that so often we treat prayer like a spare tire. You know, we don't really think about a spare tire. Just sits in our trunk until we get a flat tire, right? And that's how we are with prayer. In fact, we even say things like, well, I guess all we can do now is pray. It's like, oh my, things must really be bad if all we can do now is pray. See, look at number 10 on your outline. Prayer should be our first option, not our last resort. God doesn't want prayer to be your spare tire. God wants prayer to be the steering wheel as you're driving through life. It's where you're going to get all your fruit. Much prayer equals much fruit, whereas little prayer equals little fruit. All right, so we've looked at the first two words, observation, interpretation. Now, the most important word is application. Application, what am I going to do about this passage of Scripture? Remember, Jesus said in Matthew 7, this has been part of this study, he says, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them, that's the most important, and acts on them, may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. So, I have to put into practice what I learned about prayer. And then I'm like a wise man, and I'm building the foundation of my life on a rock. But if I hear this, and I don't do anything about it, then Jesus says I'm like a foolish person, and I'm building my life on sinking sand. And unfortunately, all over the world today, people are hearing messages in churches, listen to this, with absolutely no intention of doing anything about what they've just learned. So you have to apply the teaching from the Bible in order for your life to be changed. You can't just hear it. You have to apply it. Life change does not happen without application. You know, that's why we talk about next steps in our church so often, because we want you to apply what you're learning. So you hear us say things like, well, you know, we just talked about this. Maybe you should receive prayer about that. Maybe you need to see a Christian counselor about that. Maybe you need to take this class that we're offering. That would be your next step. Or maybe you need to become a member of the church. That's your next step. You need to start serving. You need to get into a small group. Your next step, you need to be water baptized, whatever. So here's the next step for this week. What's an area of your life where you want to bear more fruit? You want to bear more fruit in your job? You want to bear more fruit in your marriage? You want to bear more fruit in, you know, with your kids and your relationship with your kids? Maybe just bearing more fruit in your own soul. Remember, you do not have because you do not what? Ask. Absolutely. So let's ask. In fact, I want to challenge all of us with this last thing that I put on your outline. Commit to praying regularly over one area of your life where you want to see more fruit. Because remember, Jesus ties fruit to prayer. When you pray, you will abide in Jesus, you will glorify Jesus, you'll be joyful in Jesus, and you will bear much fruit.
Yes. All right. Amen.
I gotta be honest. I thought I would hate it. I really did. I wanted to hate it, but I just can't. This man right here is on fire. Oh, man. You're so good. Good job. Great job.
Thank you.
I'm sorry. He even said he apologized for the penalty. So look at this guy. He's got a great smile and everything. So at the end of the third quarter, Pastor Brian has an astonishing comeback at 10 points, and Pastor Marty has some catching up to do at 3 points. Let's see what happens in the fourth quarter.
Ted, it pains me to admit it, but that was a really good quarter of preaching by Brian, and he deserves the 7 points.
Look at you, Scott. Takes a big man to admit it. Bring it in.
Well, look at the time. We are late for some commercials.
9 out of 10 people love the VC Reveal merger. However, there are some people who like things the old way. Just as some people like the smell of an overly used public bathroom. Eating gum stuck under a table. Getting a vasectomy.
Mr. Moscardini?
Woo! That's me! Let's do this, Doc! My wife is so ready!
Being spanked with a wooden spoon. Buying a dozen eggs.
$9! Oh yeah!
Getting a really bad tattoo.
Are you sure about this?
Oh yeah, Mama likes me tough.
Alright.
But for everyone else, VC and Reveal are now one church. One great church.
And we are back.
Did you know that VC and Reveal are now one church?
Everybody knows
this
that.
Quarter.
Well, did you know that Pastor Brian wants an all-bald staff?
Here's the story of a lovely lady who was bringing up three very lovely Brady Bunch.
And now we are back.
Now we're back.
Just a reminder, this quarter is brought to you by the VC Reveal merger. Sins have you locked up with no chance of probation? Set yourself free at the Vineyard now with 2 locations. Ted, I picked a really bad week to stop drinking.
Yes, yes you did. Well, Marty finds himself down by 7 going into the fourth quarter. Does he have what it takes?
Listen, Scott, on the QT, on the down low, don't tell Brian I said this. I think Marty has what it takes.
Oh, man. Are you showing some love to Marty? Bring it in, baby.
John 15, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, if you remain connected to the source, you will bear much fruit. Listen to what Jesus is saying. Fruit is an inside job. Meaning, you can display fruit, but you are not the source of fruit. Now let's unpack that a little bit. Within each of us, somewhere out there in a future timeline of life, lies what we'll call the future me. There's the future me. We'll call that me 2.0, right? The future me is the more fruitful version of me. It's the more Christ-like version of me. It's the more patient me, the kinder me, the more loving me, the generous me, the better parent, the better spouse, the more disciplined me, the more fruitful me. This is the me that I want to be, and it's the me that I'm called to be. My struggle, your struggle, is that here is the current version of me, right? That this is the person that I see in the mirror. This is me 1.0. And I keep trying to distance myself from me 1.0, but me 1.0 does not die easily. See, future me wants to be a fruitful me, but current me pushes against it. Between current me and future me, there's this gap. Gap is where life happens. Our hope is that the gap between current me and future me is getting smaller. That we have forward momentum in life. We do not do well without the belief that tomorrow can be better than today. We need this idea of destiny, that our lives have traction and that we're actually moving somewhere. Future me is the me that I want to be, but current me is falling short. And so I look at all of the holes in my life, all the places that I'm failing, all of the areas that I am fruitless, and I feel guilty, right? Because I want to give Jesus more. I feel guilty, and guilt can be an effective motivator. It's not a healthy motivator, but it is an effective short-term motivator. And because I really do want to follow Jesus, and I want to be pleasing to him, and I want to be fruitful, and I know Jesus deserves more, so my solution to guilt is I am going to try harder. We believe that if I can just muster enough energy and gain enough focus that I can, through some heroic effort of my own, move myself closer to the future me and just begin to produce fruit. So I take on the responsibility to bear fruit upon myself, right? I now become the source for bearing fruit. It is an effort issue. If I could just try harder, then I could be fruitful. And this is what the faith journey of so many followers of Christ look like. By my own resolve, by my own effort, I will myself to bear fruit and close the gap. And if you haven't figured it out yet, this type of in the gap living is exhausting. And it leads to this type of cycle, right? Try harder looks like this. I'm gonna try a new program or a new book or a new seminar or a new church or a new pastor because it's their fault, right? Or a new app, and we swear to ourselves that this time it will be different. I know I said it last time, but this time I mean it. So we try all sorts of different things, all types of systems that leave us miserable, and so we think, well, it has to be spiritual because I'm miserable, right? Has to be spiritual. And in the end, all it does is it leaves us frustrated. Frustrated with ourselves, and if we're honest, maybe a little frustrated with God. Because I tried, and there was just no fruit. And maybe you fall back into old familiar patterns of life. Maybe it's with a familiar person or a familiar sin. And over time, you know the pattern. You begin to turn on yourself, right? What's wrong with me? Why do I keep doing this over and over again? And frustration builds, and at some point, you throw in the towel and you decide, I quit. Right? What's the point? This is just who I am. I'm just like my father, who was just like his father, who was just like his father. And I quit. I give up until the guilt becomes overwhelming, and then I begin to look at my life and all the holes and all the areas that I am fruitful, and the guilt just begins to pile on and becomes overwhelming, and I think, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to try harder. I know I said it last time, but this time I mean it. I will be fruitful. And the cycle continues. New book, new program, new seminar, new church, right? Right? It's just, this is life for most Christ followers. Let's begin to break this cycle by asking an important question. What if producing fruit is outside of your responsibility or outside your ability? Isn't this what Paul is saying in Philippians 1:6, that being confident of this, that he who began the good work in you, right? You didn't start the good work. You can't finish it. It's the one that started the work that will carry on the work. He who began bearing fruit in you, you didn't start it. You can't finish it. So we could say this way. Well, here's what Jesus says. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me connected, then something will happen. You will bear fruit. Look at what is Jesus' responsibility in this passage? His responsibility is to be the source of fruit. Your responsibility, my responsibility, is proximity. Stay close. And the outcome of staying close is fruit, but not because of greater effort, but because of closer proximity. Let me echo what Pastor Brian said. This week, instead of guilt, try harder, frustration, quit, how about we just take a step closer toward prayer? And we just begin to pray over the areas that we're deficient. Pray over the areas where we are fruitless and where we want to bear more fruit. Pray in the car, pray on your way to sleep, pray in the gym, whatever works for you. One day you're gonna notice something about you, that you're not the same person, and you're gonna notice that you have fruit, but it's not because you felt guilty and tried harder, but because you remained connected to the vine.
Touchdown!
preaching makes me just want to come to Jesus all over again. Man, so at the end of the fourth quarter, looking at the final score, we have a tie! I don't know. How did this...
Ladies and gentlemen, we are in uncharted territory. This is, for the first time in Super Bowl of Preaching history, the game has ended in a tie.
And, according to the Super Bowl of Preaching rules, in the event of a tie, the winner is determined by the senior pastor's wife.
Oh, I'm...
And since we're at VC, that falls to Thora.
Wait. Okay, so in light of the merger, I think the rules need to change, Ted. I mean, I don't know about you, but I think both of these pastors deserve the win.
You know what? I agree, Scott. I think we have great pastors at both locations. And as a matter of fact, I think all of our pastors are winners.
Yes, sir. We said at the beginning that this would be a Super Bowl of preaching for the history books, and it did not disappoint. So, congratulations. You are both 2023 Super Bowl of Preaching champion.
Well done. Well done.
Well
done.
Well, from all of us here at both campuses, thank you for joining us. I'm Ted Burrows.
And I'm Scott Young, reminding you to spay and neuter your pets. Good day.
Well, are you glad you came to the Super Bowl of Preaching? We hope you had some fun. We hope you enjoyed yourself. Most of all, though, as always, we hope that you had some sort of a connection with God while you were here. You experienced the presence of God. You learned some things from the scripture. You were able to worship with your brothers and sisters. Those are the things that are important. We just kind of packaged everything a little differently because of the Super Bowl. Now, there's a whole bunch of activities going on outside. There's food out there, all kinds of stuff for the kids. You're welcome to stick around, enjoy all of that. Now, if you're a brand new guest, you're here for the first time online or in person, this is not a normal service, all right? Next weekend, none of this stuff will be on the stage, but we will be continuing and finishing up our 40 Days in the Word campaign. If you'd like somebody to pray for you before you go, we'd love to pray for you. Just stick around for a moment. We'll have a ministry team up here in the front. They would love to pray for you. If you're online and you'd like prayer, just click the prayer button. One of our team members will get back to you. Let's all stand. I want to pray a blessing over us before we go. Lord, thank you for your presence with us today, and thank you for your goodness to us, God. Thank you for all my friends here, both online and in person. And as they go their separate ways today, God, I pray you would really bless them. Bless them, keep them, cause your face to shine upon them, be gracious to them. Lift up your favor upon them, God, and give them peace as they go. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Say hi to a bunch of people on your way out. God bless. We'll see you next weekend.
Silent car with no one else but me, and it's